that God wrote. Now, I'm not asking you to turn to any scripture right now, because I'm going to ask you to maybe look at it two or three as we go along. There's some good ones and there's some bad ones. Life is a vapor. You're here for a little while, then you're gone. Death is certain. Just like a doctor appointment, just like a dentist appointment, your appointment with death finally comes. Three, the by and by depends upon the now and now. What's coming to you in the by and by depends on what you're going to do in the now and now. In the old days, many, many years ago, they on the tombstones, they had a verse on them, a verse of hope, or a verse about the resurrection. They don't do that much anymore, but if you'll go to some of the older graveyards, especially over in England, the old country, you'll find that they would write something on somebody's tombstone. And that's called an epitaph. Now, that's what I want to preach to you about tonight. That word epitaph comes from two words, epi, which means upon, and taph, which means tomb. Upon the tomb. So when a person would die, especially in the old yard, early English churchyard, there would always be something that would characterize that person. Some of the old-time preachers, they'd die and they'd put, he lived and longed for God. Or maybe his favorite Bible verse of the resurrection. Now, I'm going to talk to you tonight about if you died tonight, what would God write on your epitaph? I know what you'd want to put. He was a fine person. Or we'd want to brag on ourselves. But what would God, really, what would God put on your tombstone if you died tonight and they buried you Tuesday and we said, Lord, would you write something on it? And God took his finger and wrote something that would describe your life in one sentence. You know, people are often remembered by the last words that they say. And we cherish grandma's words or grandpa's words. And many times the last words that come from a person's mouth will sum up their entire life. And sometimes people are known for one certain thing. You might know a person and you say, well, that person was faithful. That person was dedicated. That person was a soul winner. That person was a prayer warrior. You know, you can characterize them by the last thing. I've heard people say, I'll never forget the last thing Mama said before she crossed over the river. She'd say this and that. And sometimes it's hard to think up something good to say about somebody when they're gone. Sometimes there ain't much good you can say about somebody when they're gone. I've had people come to me sometimes and they'll say, Brother Danny, when I die, I want you to preach my funeral. And I'm not trying to be smart or hateful when I say it, but a lot of times I'll say, I can't. And they'll say, why? And I'll say, because you are preaching your funeral right now by the way you live. I can't preach your funeral, friend. You're doing that right now. And when you die, people's going to remember you just like you are right now. If you're right, they're going to remember you being right. If you're wrong, they're going to remember you being wrong. If you have a burning testimony, that's how you're going to be remembered. It don't matter what the preacher says. That's the picture that people have of you in their mind. Now, I heard about that one old preacher, and he preached a woman's funeral. She didn't hardly ever do nothing. And life, she just drifted through life and never made much of a mark for God. And this preacher was a baseball fan. And he's always talking about baseball. He could not open his mouth without at least mentioning he was a big baseball fan. And every sermon he ever preached, he never got through it without at least mentioning something about baseball. He'd have a sermon illustration, or he'd mention somebody that hit so many home runs or something. He always did it. And one time an old lady in the church died, and somebody was kind of joking around, and they kind of looked around at the funeral, and they said, you know what, I wonder what the pastor is going to say about baseball in this sermon here today. And they kind of said, you shouldn't talk like that. And they kind of said, you know, it was being disrespectful and all. Sure enough, he got up, he talked about her, and there wasn't much he could say for that lady. She didn't do nothing in life. She didn't do nothing bad. She didn't do nothing wrong. She didn't do nothing good. She just drifted through. So he finally got about halfway through his message, and he said, here lies the bones of Mary Jones. For her, death held no terrors. She lived an old maid. She died an old maid. No hits, no runs.
No errors. And that was all he could say to describe that dear old soul's life. I mean, what a way to live, man. Surely you can do something good in life that would make people remember you. I mean, boy, you need to remember something. I'd like for my last words to be something in the glory, wouldn't you? I'd like to be like that one old preacher that said he was always preaching, he's real old, and he come here like this and he says, "Brethren, I have but one more point to make." And fell over dead. And boy, he made that last point on the streets of gold. And I'll tell you, that'd be a way to go, wouldn't it? I always reminded that preacher of that horse story. I've told you it before, but I love that story. Where that church bought the preacher a horse. And they said, "Now, preacher, this is a special horse. Nobody has a horse like you do." They said, "This horse is trained different than any other horse that's ever been." He said, "How's that?" They said, "Now, when you ride him, you don't say, 'Giddy up,' when you want to go. And you don't say, 'Stop,' when you want to stop. You say, 'Praise the Lord,' and that makes him go. And you say, 'Amen,' and that makes him stop." They said, "Nobody's got a horse like you have, preacher." He said, "Now, wait a minute. Let me get this right. Praise the Lord makes him go, right? Now, what makes him stop? 'Amen.' Okay. Now, let me try to get that." And so he got all saddled up on that, and he got on there and got all strapped in. He said, "Okay. Let's go. They said, "No, preacher, you're forgetting." He said, Oh, yeah. Okay. Let me think. I got this right. Oh yeah, praise the Lord!" Boy, that thing took off, and boy, it was running 90 miles an hour, and boy, he was riding real good up for a while. He kept getting faster and faster and faster, and he's going around these rocky cliffs like this, round this way and around that way, round this way, around that way, and boy, he started getting scared. And he thought, "Lord, this thing don't know this part of the country." And he starts saying, "Whoa, oh boy, whoa!" And he's jerking back there saying, "Whoa," and the more he hollered, "Whoa," the faster that thing would go. And he kept jerking back on it harder, and I said, "Stop, you crazy thing! Whoa! Whoa!" He's juggling back like that. And he said, "Oh, Lord, help me. Oh, my God. What am I going to do?" And boy, finally started, got his head on straight. And he stopped. And boy said, "Amen!" Stopped right at the edge of a cliff. Just barely missed that, like that much going off. He went, "Whew." He said, "Oh, praise the Lord." He's gone. That's the last anybody ever heard of him. He's gone, man. That was his last word. Now, I wouldn't mind my last words being "praise the Lord," but I wouldn't want to be like that, would you? But did you know tonight, if God came down here and he wrote down your epitaph, I wonder what he'd write on your tombstone. I wonder what he'd write on mine. There's some in the Bible that's good. In Acts chapter number 9, you don't have to turn to it, there was a lady by the name of Dorcas. For time's sake, let me move on. Her name was Dorcas. Now, you know what she done? She done things good for people while she was alive. And you know what the Bible said about her when she was dead? God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, said this. She was full of good works. My. What a thing for God to say. Let me ask you something, ladies here tonight. Let me ask you, all you ladies here tonight. If you died tonight, and we had your funeral on Tuesday, and we said, "God, would you write something on their tombstone?" You reckon the Lord would write that about you? You reckon the Lord, I'll tell you what, God's honest. He don't give you no fake flowers. God don't give you no fake brag. God's not going to write that if it ain't true. And brother, if some of you ladies want God to put that on your epitaph, you know what my advice to you is? My advice to you is get busy for God and live like Dorcas lived. The Bible said they had things that she had made for them. Dorcas was always a sewing and a making things and a taking them to people and giving to people. Ladies, you don't sit around and watch soap operas 3 and 4 hours a day and then die and have a testimony like she had. Amen? You don't lay in the bed at 11 or 12 o'clock of the day and then get up and slouch around the rest of the half of the day and read romance novels, and when you die, God say she was full of good works. Now don't get quiet on me now. That's the truth, ain't it? That's the truth. I'll bet you never caught. You never caught old Dorcas laying around wasting time. You never caught her around with true secret. Her laying there more than it ain't true and it sure ain't secret. You never caught her doing nothing like that. You never caught her with a big old stack of romance novels beside her laying there filling her mind with garbage of the world. She was up a sewing. She was up a working. She was up a taking a fruit basket that somebody was sick. The Lord said she's full of good works, amen. Things that she did for other people while she was alive meant so much. One of them come around at her funeral and said, I'll never forget that time that I was sick. And I come home from the hospital and here come Dorcas knocking on the door. And she had me a meal there and she has set down some beans and potatoes. And here she set down something to eat. And I remember she didn't ask me that I need it. She just got the broom and started sweeping the floor and straightening up around the house. That's what we need in our generation, is for some ladies to say, I'm not going to just be a Christian at church, but I'm going to take what I've got here outside these four walls, and I'm going to, my life will be full of good works, just like Dorcas was. Amen? She was full of good works. But let me give you another one. As we walk through this Bible graveyard tonight, we come to another big old tombstone, and it says on there, this man's name was Noah. And it said right down below it, Genesis 5:24, Noah walked with God. My, what a testimony that he walked with God. Could he say that about us, fellas? Could he say that about us, men? If we died tonight, I wonder if God would write on our tombstone, he walked with God. My, what a testimony. Brother, you didn't come around Noah's casket and look at his face in that cold, grave casket there and wonder whether he went to heaven or hell. You knew where that man went. I believe that we owe it to our family, men, to live a life in front of them so that they won't have to scratch their head and wonder where we're at when we die and leave this world. It's bad enough to have to lose daddy. It's bad enough to have to lose your husband. But for heaven's sake, don't make them have to wonder where you went. Walk with God. Walk with God. Walk with God. Listen. Some of you ladies here tonight, you probably can't trust your husband out of your sight. You say, Brother Danny, I don't trust him. Every time he goes out, he's staring at every woman that walks up and down the street. He's looking here, he's doing this. He makes little old remarks that makes me think that he's having an affair. Oh, what a sorry testimony that is. You men here tonight, you need to walk with God. Your kids need to see you walking with God. They need to see you reading the Bible. They need to see you pray. Every man in here, you ought to get your family together at night and just have them all kneel around and say, Dear God, I'm talking about the man. I'm not talking about, honey, you do it, I'm going to bed. I'm not talking about it's your responsibility. It's a man's responsibility to lead his family spiritually. You hear me? It's a man's responsibility to lead his family to the house of God. Make sure they're in Sunday school. Make sure they have family altar. Make sure they pray. Make sure they read the Bible. And the Bible said Noah walked with God. But let me give you another one right quickly tonight as we go on through this Bible graveyard. This one is about a church. It's in Revelation 3:8. And you know what God said about them? God said they kept my word. Ain't that a blessing? God said they kept my word. Oh, yes, sir, brother. They didn't care what the world said. They kept his word. They didn't go along with the trends and the time. They kept his word. If you keep this word and you stand on what this book said, you won't be popular in this world. You ain't going to win no gold medal from this world. I'm going to tell you something else. You won't be popular among churches neither. Amen. You ain't going to be popular among churches if you keep the word of God like this book says. Well, I tell you what, I heard about that old woman, you know, one old woman, she's always sick. And it didn't matter what you had, she had. You ever met one like that? And some of these old grandma, you can't tell them about your sickness because I've got the same thing. You say, boy, I've had a little kidney. Mine's been killing me. You say, well, I'll tell you what, my back, yes, I've had a bad back 20 years. You ever met anybody like that? Heard about that one, she went to the doctor and the nurse was reading her that checkoff. You know, have you ever had this? You ever had this? Yeah. I mean, gallbladder, kidney stones, Lordy mercy. I mean, rheumatism. It didn't matter what she named off that woman. Had it. And brother, that nurse got down there. Yes, 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 yes. Allergic to everything. Had every kind of disease. And that nurse thought, Lord, have mercy. Ain't nobody can be that bad off and still be living. And so finally she thought she'd just make one up down to the end of the list. And she said, well, do your teeth itch? Just joking. And that old woman said, you know, now that you mention it, you know, no matter what you've got, they've got. But sometimes they really are bad off. Heard about that one old woman. She kept telling them how bad off she was. Nobody wouldn't listen to her. And when she died, she had on her tombstone, I told you I was sick. That'd be awful. Wouldn't that be awful if your mama done you like that or something? Shoo! I mean, moms always complain. We're always saying, oh, ain't nothing wrong with you, mom. You know, stuff like that. But I'll tell you what, if God wrote on mine, I'd want him to write something besides he's sick or all right. I'd want him to write something besides he preached. I'd want him to write something besides, I sure would like for God to say, he called the Lord. He called the Lord. He did not side with this wall against me. He stood on my side. Let me tell you something, young people. You kids is up here singing a while ago. It's not popular. That girl said something about taking her Bible to school. It's not popular and it's not easy now. Buddy, you wait till we get to the judgment day. And buddy, God's got 1,000,000 souls standing up here in glory. And brother, all the sinners are over on the other side. And boy, they're all going to be hanging their head in shame. And he'll march you up there and say, this young girl, where you at? Where you at? Where's that girl at? Well, he'll get you up there and he'll say, this girl wasn't ashamed of my word. Amen? Hey! It might be hard to do it in school, but you wait till the great judgment day when God writes it on the sky. They count my word. It'll be a different story. I don't believe we ought to be ashamed of the Bible. I know a guy that went to meet another guy preaching on the street. He told me this. He said he's some preacher going to preach at the trade lot, flea market. And he said he took his Bible. And he said all the way down there, the devil said, You ain't going to carry that Bible through that flea market, are you? And the devil said, there's a paper bag in the back seat. Why don't you put your Bible in that paper bag? And you know what? He done that thing. That Christian, that mighty soldier, put that Bible in that paper bag and walked through that flea market with it. And then when he got over there, he pulled it out and said, why is it worth shame of that? How come people ain't ashamed of no other book in the world? Come on, you know them insurance men or them businessmen or computer, they can go in the steakhouse, they'll have a briefcase, they'll open it up, pull out stuff, start working on the table. Nobody thinks one thing. Boy, you walk in there with one of them things and they'll look at you like you have arrived from another planet. They'll say, Lord have mercy. What? There's just something about that book right there. Boy, that thing is scary, ain't it? See, I'll get you. I mean, brother, that book is something, buddy. That book is powerful. That powerful book. Yes, sir, brother. I'm telling you, that book right there, and it's not a book. Listen, there was people shed their blood for that thing. There was people that let their heads be chopped off so we could have it. We ought not to be ashamed of his word. He kept my word. Hey, boy, that's some good ones. I'd like for God to write that about me. But right quickly tonight, let me give you 3 or 4 bad ones. There's some bad ones in the Bible. In Matthew 26:25, you know what it said about a man? It said he betrayed him. It said that was Judas Iscariot. If you were walking through the Bible graveyard tonight, you'd see an old mossy-covered tombstone there, and it'd be real cold, and weeds all growed up around it, and it'd say, Judas Iscariot, epitaph, he betrayed him. Matthew chapter 26. Boy, wouldn't that be awful? My Lord, throughout all eternity, that's all God can say about you. You betrayed the Lord. How about you tonight? Was there a time when you used to stand for him? Was there a time? You know what blows my mind about Judas? I heard a preacher talking about it on tape this week. Boy, it got a hold of me like it never had before. You know what really is mind-boggling about Judas? Let me tell you what he was. Judas Iscariot saw Jesus Christ perform miracles. He saw it. He watched him raise dead people. He watched him put his hand on men's eyes and give them sight and touch their tongue and their ear. He watched him raise the dead and led out a band of men out there to betray him in the nighttime. But that's not the most wild thing about it. The wildest thing about it is Judas Iscariot walked right up to Jesus Christ. Listen to me. Everybody listen. Right up to Jesus Christ and said, where's he at? Where's he at? And Jesus said, whom seek ye? And the power of God knocked Judas and them men down in the bushes. Now think about this. Think about this. He got knocked down in the bushes. He knew that was God he's dealing with. He knew it! He knew that was God in the flesh. Can a man be that full of the devil? Can a man be that evil to get knocked down by the power of God and walk right over and kiss him and sell him for 30 pieces of silver? Yes, he can. You've never heard of anything any worse than that. How can a man do that? How can a man? Let me ask you something. How can you sit right here tonight and see the power of God and see people crying and weeping and just say, I don't want nothing to do with it? You betrayed Him! You betrayed the Lord! That's what God's going to say about you one of these days. In 2 Peter 2:15, you see another one. You know what it said about these fellows on their tombstone? He's forsaken the right way. Oh, there used to be many that served God. There used to be many that sung in the choir, carried a Bible, witnessed on a job, stood for Jesus. But you know what it said about them in 2 Peter? They've forsaken the right way. Do you remember a time when you used to live right? Now you forsake. Well, if God put that on your tombstone, there it is, with His big finger engraved it. He's forsaken the right way. My, how terrible that would be in that Bible graveyard. There would be there. That was a false prophet in 2 Peter 2:15. But let me give you another one. 2 Timothy 4:10. And about a man by the name of Demas. And brother, you know what it said about Demas? There's his tombstone. Demas. 2 Timothy 4:10, I believe it is. He loved this present world. My, how terrible that would be. After God so loved us and let His Son die on the cross to deliver us from this present evil world, how could a man that says, I love God, still love it? Oh, brother, listen, don't it make you sick when your flesh starts loving this old world? That old flesh wants to go, but it just grieves your spirit when you realize that this old wicked flesh still, listen, it was the world that nailed Him to the tree. It was the world that crucified our Savior. It was the world that put them nails in His hands and in His feet. How could we love this world after what it thinks about our Savior and our Bible and our God? Listen. That Arsenio Hall atmosphere ought to turn our stomachs. Amen. That ought to turn your stomach if you're right with God. If you can enjoy that, listen to me. If you can enjoy that and laugh at them as they curse and make fun of what's right and laugh about people going to bed together that are not married and laugh about getting drunk, you need to get your heart right with the Lord. There's something wrong with you, kiddo. There's something wrong. You say, well, who are you? I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. But I want to tell you one thing. Brother, that turns my stomach. When I think about what that done to my Savior. If you can watch a movie like Oh God, where George Burns plays God in, and think that's funny and laugh about it, friend, there's something wrong with your spiritual thermometer. There's something wrong with you. I'm not trying to be a smart aleck. I'm not trying to be mean or ugly. But listen, when your heart's right, when your heart is right, listen, you wouldn't want nobody making fun of your mother like that, would you? Some old pervert like Dr. Ruth. Gag. That'd gag a sinner. I'm telling you, man, listen, He loved this present world. He loved this present world. Let me give you another one. Luke 16. As a man died, you know what God said about him? In hell, he lifted up his eyes. Oh, I can imagine at that rich man's funeral, some big priest got up there and said, he was a fine gentleman. And we appreciate the part of his estate that he has left to the synagogue. We're going to miss this fine gentleman. And he was not very faithful all the time. But he was a busy man, and God understands. And there's no doubt in my mind, he's in heaven, waiting on the rest of us. But God had something else to say. God said in hell, he lift up his eyes. Whew. Think about that! My Lord, my soul! Think about a man dying in this world, going from a rich house like that. And all of a sudden, somebody wrapping chains around him. He smells something and they're pulling him down like this. And he said, get your hands off me. You leave me alone. And those demons are dragging him down. And he starts feeling fire going up all around. He said, no, no, God, no, no, God, no, no. But it's too late. God said in hell, he lift up his eye. If you die and you're not saved, that's what's going to happen to you. What a terrible thing. Let me tell you something. I preach on it all the time in these meetings where I do that slide presentation on hell. And the more I preach it, the more real it gets to me. I'm telling you this evening, fan, if you die and go to hell, you'll curse the day you was born and you'll wish you'd have never been born. You'll wish your mama had never had you. There's one more I want to give you. Revelation 2:21 talks about a woman. And she died there. And you know what the Lord said about her? She
repented not. She repented not. She didn't repent. Did she get saved, Lord? Nope. She repented not. Whew. Wouldn't that be awful? Boy, I'd hate to die. I'd hate to die in that shape. God looked down at my tomb and write, he didn't repent. He had a chance, but he didn't get right. He had an opportunity, but he said no. Now really, tonight I wonder what God would put on yours. I don't know. A lot of people here tonight, I don't even know who you are. Let me ask you something. If you died tonight on your way home, and we went and picked you out a tombstone, and they put it up in front of your grave, and God come down with his finger and wrote something that characterized your life, I wonder what it'd be. You say, I'd like to know I'm saved, preacher. Well, you can do that right here tonight. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. While every head is bowed and every eye is closed, in just a moment we're going to stand and sing a song. And as we do, I'm going to ask you, if you're here tonight, you're not right with God. And I'm going to ask you something tonight. If you died right now, would things be okay? You say, I'm mad, Brother Danny. You preached about something that I'm guilty of. It ain't my fault. It ain't my fault. Ask yourself this. Is it truth? Is what I said truth? Would you like for God to write your epitaph tonight? Huh? We've already got some coming to the altar tonight. But I wonder here tonight, would there be somebody to say, preacher, I really, really need to make some changes in my life. I want to be like Dorcas in the Bible. I want them to say good things about me when I'm gone. I don't want to waste my life. Maybe there's a man here tonight say, I want him to write, he walked with God. Would you say, preacher, please pray for me. Please pray for me. Would you just raise your hand? Raise your hand. Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. How about you, young people? Mamas, daddies. God speaking to your heart. What would the Lord, thank you. I see your hands, thank you. What would the Lord put about you? Reckon what he'd put about you. Really. You say, Brother Danny, I don't think I'd like what he'd put. Well, now's the time to change and do something about it. Father, do what ought to be done in our hearts. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to live now the way we wished we had lived one day when we stand before you, in Jesus' name. God, help that man, woman, boy, and girl who needs to come to this altar tonight to come, and we'll praise you and thank you. Amen. Let's stand.